The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall rock climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Mike Heck here for MMAfighting.com, reacting to some unfortunate news on this Friday, September 24th, 2021. Former UFC light heavyweight champion John Jones has found himself in trouble once again. MMA Fighting confirmed an initial report from ESPN's Mark Raimondi that Jones was arrested early Friday morning in Las Vegas facing charges of battery, domestic violence, and injuring and tampering with the vehicle. Hours before that, Jones was inducted into the UFC Hall of Fame for his incredible first fight with Alexander Gustafsson at UFC 165. So as at the time of this recording, Jones is currently being held on $8,000 total bail for the alleged charges, and he's expected, according to documents, to make an initial court appearance on Saturday morning. Now, last March, if you recall, Jones was arrested in Albuquerque in March of 2020 on multiple charges: aggravated DWI, negligent use of a firearm, possession of an open container, and driving without proof of insurance. And Jones later pled guilty to DWI, with the other charges being dropped, and he served 4 days house arrest in addition to agreeing to 1 year of supervised probation, a minimum of 90 days of outpatient therapy, as well as 48 hours of community service. The she for Jones also infamously includes his involvement in an April 2015 hit and run in Albuquerque, New Mexico, which resulted in the end of his first UFC light heavyweight championship reign, when officials decided to strip John Jones of his title for violating the organization's athlete code of conduct policy. Jones went on to have a title defense against Dominic Reyes, and then he vacated the light heavyweight title in 2020 in lieu of a move up to heavyweight. He's obviously put on a lot of size. And his advisor, Richard Schaefer, told Ariel Helwani on the MMA Hour earlier this week he was around 260 pounds. Goal was to get to around 275 pounds. And then Jones told reporters ahead of the Hall of Fame ceremony on the red carpet that he planned on returning to the octagon in the second quarter of 2022 to face the winner of a potential heavyweight title unification bout between Francis Ngannou and Ciryl Gane. This news, while alleged and we don't know all the details, could potentially put a wrench in those plans. So as of now, no comments from Jones's team, no comments from the UFC in regards to these charges against the 34-year-old competitor. But as we found out a little while ago, the UFC has canceled their UFC 267 champions panel, which would have Jan Błachowicz, Glover Teixeira, Aljamain Sterling, and Piotr Jan up on stage fielding questions from the media. That has been canceled. It's just going to go straight on to the ceremonial weigh-ins, which will begin at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So a lot to discuss, a lot to react to. And with that, let us welcome in MMA Fighting's Jed Meshew and Alexander K. Lee to give their takes on this news. And Jed, man, it is UFC 266 fight week. We got two title fights. The return of Nick Diaz, depending on who you talk to. We had the Hall of Fame last night. And this news obviously has taken over the headlines for sure on this Friday, this 266 Eve. I guess, what was your reaction to the news, finding out that John Jones got arrested just hours after stepping on the red carpet and receiving a Hall of Fame nod for that crazy fight with Gustafson?
I'm not surprised. This sucks. It's not good. I know we're going to try not to speculate too hard here because there are a lot of unknowns. This is all happening in real time, but it's nobody can be shocked this happened just because John Jones has a really bad track record that you spent several minutes just now listing. There's nothing good about this. And the fact that it comes so quickly on the heels of what should have been a really good weekend for him, you know, being inducted for the first time, he's almost certainly going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, regardless of all of this outside the cage stuff that goes hand in hand with him. But he was inducted last night. He was on the red carpet, and irony of ironies, he comes out and says, you know, I plan to do some, maybe I'll do some more legally controversial stuff so I can sell pay-per-views when I come back. And then less than 24 hours later, he in fact just gets arrested for illegally controversial things. This sucks. John Jones is the premier fighter in the sport, even in a sport where Conor McGregor likes to shoot himself in the foot as hard as he can. No one does it more frequently or more awfully than John Jones. And there's nothing good about this, Mike. There are no positives. There's nothing, especially given what some of the charges he's facing are. It's, you know me, I like to be flippant and fun, and there's no way to view this in a light that's not serious and really unfortunate.
AK, what did you think? I mean, this obviously, like Jed said, this is not good. This is all bad. It is kind of speculatory right now because these are all allegations. This is just, we're at the initial stages of all of this. But just hearing the news, John Jones was arrested early in the morning. How did you react to this?
I was just disgusted. You know, it's again, we have to, you know, we have a lot of conditional statements today, of course, with allegedly, and we're speculating, and you know, he's been charged, of course. You know, we're a long ways away from this being resolved and there being any sort of convictions or plea deals or, you know, however this latest John Jones saga ends. But it's just horrifying to keep, as a fan of MMA and as someone who certainly was once a fan of John Jones, and to this day still enjoys watching the man compete. You know, was very excited about the possibility of a John Jones Francis Ngannou fight sometime in the future, or it just the concept of John Jones in heavyweight. So as a fan, it's really this heartbreaking thing. And as someone in the media who has to cover him, it's just exhausting. You know, it's exhausting. It's frustrating. We are people who, it is our job to chronicle the sports, and he is such an important part of its history. Love him or hate him, he is a major, major part of the history of MMA, especially the modern era. And to see his story become so twisted and so shrouded in controversy, not just with the legal problems, but of course the failed drug tests and just his general his general demeanor, which I find to be very unpleasant. It hurts, you know, it really hurts. So it's hard for me to be completely objective about this. Like you said, my initial reaction to the news was really emotional. I'm still reacting to it, you know. You know, the news cycle moves quickly, but man, this is something that it feels real fresh and not what we should be talking about. Less than, you know, 20, what I should say, a little over 24 hours away from a major UFC card and some great fights and the return of Nick Diaz and all that. It just all seems meaningless now. As we watch, as Jed put it, you know, the preeminent fighter, maybe the greatest fighter to ever compete in MMA, just flush his whole life down the toilet. And worst case scenario, this is all true, just do this horrible, horrible thing to another human being, which is really worse than anything else we've just, you know, we've even just discussed. So, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm a little all over the place, but that was my reaction. Still, I'm still processing.
All right, so let me ask you this, Jed, because I mean, literally just minutes ago, we found out that this champions panel was canceled right before the weigh-ins. Do you think this is, and again, we're speculating here, but we've seen precedent. We've seen the UFC do crazy things. We've seen them try to get out in front of things, which it's business. It's sports. It happens all over the place. But do you feel like the cancellation of this panel kind of goes hand in hand with this. Even though John was supposed to be there, it kind of gives a way to extinguish the flames and not give the media a chance to ask anybody about this for the time being.
No, for sure. I don't think I'd frame it like that. Frankly, I think that that is the correct decision for them, both from a PR and business standpoint. Like, I'm not going to knock the UFC for canceling this one, because realistically, that champions panel is now not, it's not what it's designed to do. And it's designed to give, you know, media access to fighter champions and kind of have different discussions. And very clearly, that panel would be almost nothing but firing John Jones questions out. And there are other ways to do that that don't involve doing the classic, hey, fighter X, what do you think about John Jones being arrested? Which isn't really super substantive or honestly all that worthwhile, in my opinion. I know everybody does it, but I think it's a part of the space that the entire MMA media could kind of move away from. Now, there would be some relevance to some of the fighters at the panel, people who have previously competed against him, or, you know, Francis Ngannou was there. You could ask him directly how that this might affect, you know, their plans to fight one day in the future. But, you know, just firing off, I don't think that that's super substantive. So I think it's a good idea that they canceled it. But again, it's just another thing that sucks about all of this. Like, John Jones's actions have consequences, and historically they haven't had that big a consequence for him, but they have had huge consequences for others. And again, he is not convicted of anything. We don't know exactly what happened here, but the track record doesn't look good for him. And given kind of what has preceded stuff like this, if this ends up turning out to be true, John Jones may actually now really be facing some consequences. And I'm loath to say that that's good, because I don't like a lot of the – it gets real heavy real fast. But nothing is working to dissuade John Jones from acting in the way he has thus far. And again, assuming all this is verified or goes through the legal due process and is found to have merit, maybe he needs a wake-up call like this, because it's rippling out, not just for him, but for a lot of other people in so significantly less substantial ways, obviously, for us and for other fighters than it is for people directly affected by his actions. But none of it's good. And yeah, this all just sucks, Mike. There's no good part about any of this. And it's really unfortunate. Like AK said, I mean, this is sandwiched between the Hall of Fame ceremony last night, which was universally well thought of. Like, all the people inducted are great. Everybody has a great deal of respect for Mark Ratner and George St. Pierre and Dustin Poirier getting honored as the inaugural Forrest Griffin winner. And tomorrow we've got, you know, maybe the best UFC card on paper in several months. And it's all feels a little afterthoughty now, because John Jones once again has grabbed the headlines for the worst reasons.
Yeah. And to be clear, I completely agree with what you said to start that off, Jed, that the UFC should have canceled this. No issue with it whatsoever. It is the right thing to do. But AK, I don't know if you watched the scrum, but he spoke with reporters on the red carpet last night before he got his honor. He seemed in pretty good spirits. He seemed happy. He seemed content. He was very personable. But what we see on camera, what goes on behind the scenes, can be two different things. Of course, this is the United States. It's innocent until proven guilty. The MMA community, however, can be a pretty tough jury. But despite all of Jones's shortcomings and things that he's done in the past, if you go to a John Jones press conference, he's always found a way to remain in the good graces of a lot of fans, despite the troubles that he has found himself in the past. Is enough for fans, in your opinion? And again, we don't know what happened. We're still at the early stages of all this. These are all allegations. We're very early into the process, but you know how the MMA community can be. You see him in the comments. Do things change now, in your opinion, in regards to the fans, AK?
No, I think the temporary backlash. Then, depending on once the details, the incidents start to come out, I think then we'll really see how much crap people are willing to take. But I mean, look, we're living in a world where there's a lot of fans who support Greg Hardy being in the UFC, and the details of his domestic violence case were as heinous as you can get, frankly. And you still have these people who beat the drum of, well, nobody's perfect, and yet, you know, let ye who is without sin cast the first stone, and all this nonsense, and you know, don't, you know, judge not lest you be judged, and all that. So honestly, after the Greg Hardy thing, I don't know if there is a limit to what MMA fans will put up with if it means that they can receive even a modicum of entertainment from an athlete. So pardon the cynicism, but that's really is sort of how I feel about that when it comes to fan reaction to these things. Now, long term, again, I just think if you don't like John Jones, this is only going to justify your case. If you're a fan and a supporter, they've seen him do some rough stuff. This would be the worst by far, but they've seen him do some brutal stuff, and it's always covered up with, you know, with John Jones, that the attitude of only God can judge me, and I'm trying to be a better person, and I'll learn from this. I'm going to learn from this. Next time I'll do better. Next time I'll do better. Next time I'll do better. And you mentioned, you know, his ability to sort of win people over at press conferences. There's a lot of sociopaths throughout history who are very charming in their public persona. I think there are times when I see John Jones talk and say something, and I'm like, okay, you know, he seems like at heart not a terrible guy. You know, he seems like someone who is, you know, we've seen the worst of him, but at his heart, he's not a bad person. And I don't know how long you can say that about someone when they keep making mistakes and keep doing these things. And eventually now, again, if these allegations are true, hurting, like really hurting another human being, and not just this person, but everyone else affected by this kind of alleged crime. So I don't want to get fully up my pedestal yet, but I will say his ability to win people over doesn't surprise me. His ability to earn forgiveness from his fans doesn't surprise me. This is kind of the nature of guys like this. I guess if you want to use the phrase like a cult of personality, he has certainly created one. I want to believe that people will be more critical now of him in the future. But again, I feel like we've been singing this song. You said the hit and run was April 2015, right?
2015.
That's 6 years ago. 6 years ago, we're singing the same song. So I don't know. I don't know what it will take for people to. And when I say turn on him, I don't mean, oh, well, now I just hate John Jones and I want John Jones to go away, or I wish ill upon him. What will it take for everyone to just say this guy needs to be held accountable? And I'm not a fan of him until he shows he can turn his life around and make amends to the people that he's hurt. And that's a long road to go if this stuff is true.
Yeah, I just want to jump in on that real fast, because I'm happy to talk on this, because there's no – I don't have to speculate at all on John Jones winning people over, et cetera, because we've seen it, and this is not – this has nothing to do with his previous legal issues or USADA issues. Everybody should have known exactly what John Jones was about the minute that hot mic clip of him and Daniel Cormier came out, whatever that was, 5 years ago, where they're on ESPN and John Jones is doing his GSP act and having a conversation. And as soon as they go off live, and Cormier is still bringing that same energy that I don't like you, John. I'm going to beat your ass. And John goes, I will kill you. If you spit in my face, I would literally come kill you. And everybody should have known that. Like, there is a vast difference between John Jones's personal, like his private persona and his public one. I don't know him to speak. I'm sure that there are many facets to him, but we have seen directly his ability to be in front of the camera and be one way, and when he thinks no one is looking, be another. And so, yeah, that's no way surprising. And a lot of people are still by it. And he kind of leaned in less to being totally the perfect GSP kind of clone and owning up to his mistakes a little more. But that thing is, everybody should have known from that moment on exactly kind of what you see with John Jones is not at all what you may be getting.
And Jed, you know, when it comes to John Jones, the fighter, the UFC fighter, the former champion, the guy that's trying to go up and become a heavyweight champion. And we, you know, it's interesting because we talked about Conor McGregor on BTL a couple of weeks ago, you know, asking the question, like, when is enough enough? And we understand that Conor's the biggest star in the sport. Controversy creates cash and all that. But when does the UFC say in some of these situations, like, you know what, especially with John, this guy might be the greatest ever do it. But he's had chance after chance after chance. We just cannot be in the John Jones business any longer. And again, this is a very important thing throughout this video. Preliminary stages. These are allegations. Nothing has been proven. We haven't seen anything yet. But if this road leads to all of these charges being accurate, proven, and true, do you think the UFC will have officially reached that point?
That was a really complicated question. My gut instinct is that this actually, if he is convicted here, I want to say that they would. It comes with a lot of baggage for the UFC because it's pretty hard for them to kick John Jones to the curb and still promote Greg Hardy. If something like this kind of goes through, I mean, they can do the mental gymnastics to have that happen, but it would be maybe more hypocrisy than they'd be willing to swallow. But at the same time, the juice just isn't worth the squeeze for them anymore, in my opinion. I'm sure that they will think long and hard about it. But look, if John Jones was set to fight Francis Ngannou and he wasn't currently in, I'm having big issues with my pay structure and I had to go get Richard Schaefer to come negotiate with me because me and Dana aren't friends and all this stuff, maybe they just say, hey, he's going to Ronda Rousey this and just take whatever we throw at him and make us a lot of money. Okay. But that's not who John has ever been. And so if he's going to be difficult on both the back end and the front end, and the sneaky secret of John Jones is he is not that big a star. He is a big star. I'm not here to say that he is unknown, but you look at his pay-per-view track record and it's not gangbusters. That was always one of the big things that kind of, in my mind, prevented the Francis Ngannou John Jones fight from happening, because we all want to believe that it would be this huge blockbuster fight. And I think it would have been a really big fight still, but John's never broken a million in pay-per-view. Like, he's not many fighters have, but he consistently pulls around 500,000. Like, that's sort of his average rate. Regardless of who he's facing. And, you know, I think the Cormier fights did a little under a mil, like 800-900, but that was like a really big story and it didn't break seven figures. So, he is not bringing that much to the table. And if he's that big a headache, like I said, both on the front end and the back end of things, just a PR nightmare for them. Like, I think they should move on from him, frankly, if this is all proven true and come to court. And I would like to believe that they will. Maybe that's just naivety, though. Like, maybe instead, actually what Dana does is he looks at this and says, well, John has lost any leverage he had. Now I can lowball him for the Ngannou fight. And I wouldn't be shocked if that happened either, but I'd like to think that this would be the straw that breaks the camel's back here.
And then last thing on this, I mean, again, we can't really speculate on the comings and goings. Apparently, he's on a 12-hour hold, so John might be getting out of jail sometime tonight. If he bails himself out, he still has to show up to court on Saturday, according to documents and paperwork and all of that. But, AK, do you think tomorrow, after this pay-per-view event, because the UFC, I mean, I covered UFC 220. I can't remember another time that Dana White did not go up and sit at that table and field questions from the media. He did not that night. After Stipe Miocic took the title out of his hands and gave it to his coach to wrap around his waist after he beat Francis Ngannou, Dana White did not go up to the podium and answer questions from the media. Do you see a world where Dana does the same tomorrow, just to avoid all this? Because if anyone from the media is going to ask anybody about what happened with the situation, it's going to be Dana White tomorrow night. So do you think he shows up? And the other question I have is, how does he handle it? Does he go full Dana White on the situation, or does he just say, I don't know anything about it? Next question.
I'm going to give a pretty unsatisfactory answer here. I actually do think he will show up, but I think he'll be well consulted by that point as to how to handle the situation. Again, the case is so fresh, by tomorrow night, it won't even be 36 hours before the incident, alleged incident happened. And I think he'll have, you know, he'll give some sort of, you know, we're not going to comment on that. It's ongoing. I know this doesn't sound like Dana White at all. I'm trying to think the last time he's ever actually done something like that. Maybe for other less high profile news. But I think in this case, he will show up. It's a big show. It's in Las Vegas, and he'll comment, I think, but he won't say anything substantial. He'll just, again, say, you know, we've reached out, whatever, we're waiting to hear back from John's team. Oh, he might not even say that much, but yeah, we can't comment at the moment, ongoing investigation. We just hope, you know, it's sorted out for the best. He might take a follow-up and, you know, make some mention, of course, of Jones's history. I'd be surprised if we got a long, really involved Dana White rant about this situation. I think he's going to make it pretty clear he's aware, the UFC's aware, and they're not answering questions. Again, this doesn't sound very Dana White-ish, but I have a feeling that he won't duck the media on Saturday night, and it'll be handled in pretty pretty formal, business-like fashion.
You agree, Jed?
There's the Prince of Positivity. Look at him thinking that Dana White and the UFC are going to be a real business. In a world, in honestly, any level of reasonable PR would there should be a pretty easy playbook here, and it should be Dana would set aside a brief 15-minute scrum with media tomorrow before the event to say, hey, I know that this is a big thing. I don't want to take away from the fighters tomorrow night, but I know that if I get up there on the presser, that's going to be the only topic of conversation. So put a quick media scrum together. Let's talk about it very quickly. And then we can spend the rest of the time focusing on UFC 266. That's what they should do from a PR standpoint, like either this afternoon / evening or tomorrow before the fights. So you can have the focus be on the event because that's how you want it to get back there. And if not, then yeah, if they don't do that, then any question, if Dana goes to a presser, it's just going to be all John Jones stuff. So I don't think they're going to do that though, because they often don't do the things that are pretty standard PR responses for stuff like this. And I love AK's optimism. I'll hedge and say I think some of what AK said, should Dana White get in front of a camera, which I'm very skeptical he will do given the context here, I think that he would mostly just defer to he has been charged X. We're going to let this whole, that's one of his favorite phrases. We're going to let this whole situation play out and make our determinations from there. He's not going to make any broad statements, but I do think he would add a little more color and, you know, talk about how John Jones, you know, is throwing his career away. And he's one of the biggest waste of talents the sport's ever seen. And we've seen that historically with Dana and John Jones. Dana loves a chance to throw his fighters under the bus. And frankly, kind of given the charges and the situation, this is a pretty good opportunity to do that. And so, again, I'm very skeptical he gets in front of a camera tomorrow, but I think that he should. And if he does, I think he will be a little more Dana White about things than Ari Emanuel about things, as it were.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll see what happens. Of course,
Can I add on one more thing here?
Yes, sir.
Here's my positivity. I don't believe anyone is beyond redemption, really. I shouldn't say that. Barring the most extreme circumstances, I don't believe anyone's beyond redemption. So if you're one of those people out there who's still like, well, I still want the best for John Jones, and I hope that whatever, this isn't as bad as it sounds, or even if it is, we should, that he learns from this, blah, blah, and gets punished, and... If you care about John Jones, if you're a fan of John Jones, you should want him to be punished to the fullest extent of the law. Again, depending whatever the verdict turns out to be when this is all resolved, we get to this point where these things keep getting worse with him because he's just not held fully accountable for his actions. He just isn't. He is a wealthy, successful athlete who's well connected, who can misbehave and get away with things. That's just a fact. That is his history says that. He, I'm not saying he hasn't committed murder or anything, but he's certainly committed crimes that would land other less affluent people in jail. And we were discussing before the show, before we turned the cameras on, that I was in disbelief. I was like, he's never been sentenced to any jail time. Think about that, guys. And for anyone listening and watching, look at his imagine yourself in his situation. If you'd done what, like any of the things he'd done, you probably would go to jail for a bit of time. But because he is who he is, he's gotten away with it. And again, this is a general celebrity comment, by the way, that John Jones is not the only one to, that this happens to. This is celebrities and athletes. And if you care about him, you should want to see him held fully accountable. If you want there to be any chance for redemption, there has to be a reckoning. And he hasn't faced it yet. I know people will say, well, he's had titles stripped from him. He's been fined. He's done, you know, whatever, house arrest or probation. His name's been dragged through the mud by the media, by the public. Relative to his behavior, this is not that's not anything that's going to teach him a lesson. And he just keeps kind of powering through, as it were. And that's just not how it should be. So if you're a fan of his, you should be upset. You should be upset. You should be angry, and you should want better from him and for him. So I don't know. That's just how I feel about the whole John Jones situation. And I felt like this for a long time.
Yeah. Well, tough to not. I mean, if you're not even if you're a fan of John Jones, if you are just a good person, and again, I know these are charges and not convicted crimes, but assuming that there is some any level of fire to the smoke here on top of the stuff that we know is true historically, you should want better. And I'm not saying that you should want better from he should be a role model. I have a low opinion of that kind of sentence, but you don't willingly harm people or negligently harm people if that's just not how we conduct ourselves in society. So I'm with AK. I'm really disappointed that this is like literally a yearly occurrence. We have a meeting like this where we talk about what did John Jones do this time, and Conor McGregor has done a lot of awful things, and I know that that's kind of the main comp we get here just because they are both in the headlines for wrong reasons a lot. But you know, we shouldn't be racing to see who can be the worst person who is still like super relevant to the sport. That's not a title you want to win. And it would be a lot cooler if both John and Conor could get their shit together, man.
Yeah, well said. And I think one of the important things that was said throughout this little telecast here, we got a big weekend in MMA. There's a lot of fighters who are getting ready to make that walk and compete for our entertainment on Saturday night at the T-Mobile Arena. We got Nick Diaz and Robbie Lawler. We got Valentina Shevchenko versus Lauren Murphy. We got Alexander Volkanovski versus Brian Ortega. And we have
Volkanovski, man. He's doing everything he can to sell a fight. Like, he's trying to manufacture beef and be interesting, and nobody's going to pay attention to this at all. I don't know if they were before, but they're really not going to care about this now. Poor Volk.
I know.
He's just never going to get the love he deserves.
Yeah, and we still got 20 other fighters that are going to be competing on that card. So let us not, as big as this news is, let us not lose focus on the fact that 26 athletes are getting ready to make the walk and compete, and they're doing things right. And, you know, we should focus on those athletes and the positive stories right now. But I understand that's why we're talking about it. The headlines are there. This is massive news, and it's unfortunate news at the same time, especially on such a big and, you know, sort of momentous week for the UFC. International Fight Week coming back for the first time in a couple of years, and it is what it is. So more on this story probably over the next several days, weeks on MMAfighting.com. So stick with us. We will keep you updated, keep you posted on everything that is going on with the story. Of course, everything going on with UFC 266, so forth and so on. So until then, for Jed Meshew, for Alex K. Lee, I am Mike Heck. Thank you for watching. We'll see you later on.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.